Blog Talk Radio.
Good Sunday afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining us here at Deviant Legion and ISF. Today we're doing a follow-up, a part two, of a filmmaker's journal with Vicki Love. Vicki is was on our show, I guess, about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, talking about the movie that she was shooting in Fresno, and that is called Lake. And so she was giving us so many great stories, and you want to take a look and listen to that show, and we'll get it reposted up. But if I remember correctly, she had just started shooting at a lake on a golf course, and was telling us all about mosquito nets and all sorts of stuff. So first off, I'd like to at least say hello to my co-host, Rachel. Say hello, Rach.
Hello, Rachel. We don't call me Rachel.
There you go.
Only special people get that privilege.
And let's turn it over to Miss Vicki Love. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Rachel. Hi, everyone out there. Rachel was just talking about some awesome chicken wings she just ate today and made me hungry.
The one thing you don't take out on a set
at a lake in 100 degrees, any food, it melts. Even in an ice chest. So,
what, no, like Jell-O molds or ice cream cakes or anything for you guys?
No, none of that kind of stuff. But I did take grapes, and that was a big hit. And I have some really great pictures of us screwing around with grapes. But we are the grape capital of the world here in Fresno, actually raisin grapes. So that's our distinction. Probably almonds, too. But anyway, Your wonderful description of those wings made me hungry. And it's Wings Day, right? It's football day?
Yeah. Oh, you're right. That is the season we're in. I forget about that.
I have colleagues at work who watch football, and so every Sunday my Facebook explodes with football. But we're here to talk about film, right? My film.
Yeah, we are.
My film, yes. It's my film, but it's so much more than my film. It's my son Dylan's screenplay. Last weekend, we were filming our lawyer scene in a lawyer's office, and the people who have read the script were just complimenting him so much, and I was, you know, I always try to stay in the background when things like this are happening because, you know, it always sounds like, you know, the mom, doesn't matter what the kid does, the mom just loves it, right? You know, it's one of those volcanoes that doesn't erupt right, and the mom's going, best volcano ever! So, but this screenplay is just everyone who reads it, they just love it, and it captures their imagination. And so just really super proud to be working on this and producing this. And all you producers out there who turned your nose up to this screenplay, just wait. Just wait till it's out. So anyway, filming. What?
I can't wait. I really want to see this. So tell us a little bit about what it's about, and so on and so forth. So recap.
The recap of the story is that it's a psychological thriller that has ties to the profound question of who are we, why do we exist, why is this universe so big and we're so small, where do we connect? And so it's got all this in it. And as we've seen, and I mean, it's profound for me, because before the pandemic, I just thought people thought about this stuff all the time, and I thought that religious people weren't afraid of the vastness of the universe and what it really means and all that kind of stuff. But after the pandemic and the Trump person, I've come to understand that ideas like this scare people. And why so many horror films rely on these types of ideas, because people just don't, the average human being just doesn't have the imagination to grasp this stuff. And so that's why it makes for such a good psychological thriller and such a good borderline horror film. And so it's just about... This person who discovers the connection to the deeper understanding of what our lives are. And this person puts a fire underneath two of his students. One's a former student. He's a professor, the one who discovers this connection, and an older student who she's off really trying to make the connection. You know, in her life, the only thing that matters is making this connection. And so then the professor dies unexpectedly and leaves everything, all his work, to his protege, and his protege doesn't really believe it. And therein lies all the conflict and the discovery and the ultimate step into the sci-fi, actually. And so it's got all that kind of stuff involved in it. And people who have read it love it. And so that's the premise. That's the theme.
Okay. So what kind of stories do you have for us on producing and shooting the film? Because last time you had us in hysterics. You certainly
I don't know if I'm that funny anymore. A lot of depressing things have happened since July. July was a much lighter time in our lives. And so a lot of real life has crushed down upon all of us. And the real life stuff is what's hampering our production right now. The wildfires are, we can't be out in it at the lake filming our last three scenes. We only have three more scenes. One's a crucial scene. The other two are small scenes. But we can't seem to get out there because every day is not just a smoky day. It's a hazard, red flag, don't go out there day. And as me on antibiotics, as we were talking before the show, I had to take a whole week off of work because of it, because these kinds of symptoms mimic the COVID symptoms and blah, 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 blah. So there's been, from July to now, there's been a lot of roadblocks and bad things. And so those are the problems when you don't have a business production company, when you have to rely on your money as a different type of job. That's when things really start getting hard. And that's what I would like to say, is that, you know, being your own production company is a really great thing and all. You're the boss. But when things don't run smoothly, and then when you try to jump those hurdles and you can't because you got to go to work, or your actors have to go to work, or in this stupid pandemic, everyone's in quarantine. I mean, it's just, it's like crazy. So anyway, so one of my favorite stories about being out at the lake is that the people who are allowing us to film on their property are just the most gracious people in the world. And they have these dogs, and this one dog, she's a big old giant German Shepherd, and she runs the whole place. And they have a golf course on this piece of property, and they share the water system with the county of Fresno. And so there's all kinds of really funny things happening with the animal life, okay? The dog rides in the golf cart that takes us out there. At first we were walking with all of our stuff, and the golfers were looking at us like, who the hell are these people, and why are they walking across my golf course? It was just insane, the looks that people were giving us. And it's about a half a mile trek through the golf course, through the what you want to call the wildlife, down to the lake. And so, I mean, it's dirt and stickers and bugs. Oh, Carl, you'll love this. The last time we filmed out at the lake, you know, things don't stay the same. In July, we started, and it was hot and steamy, and the fish were jumping. But now it's getting towards autumn, right? The season has changed. And the last time we were there, there were hundreds of dragonflies attacking us, and they were most attacking Dylan because of something he had put on his skin, because we still need lots of mosquito repellent. So he has the camera. He's like, action, and then all of a sudden dragonflies start buzzing him and hitting him, and it gets on the soundtrack too, you know? And it's like, get the fuck away from me. Whoops, okay, take over. One flies right in front of the camera as the scene is unfolding, and it's a dramatic scene. We don't want a dragonfly flying through. And you know how you hate dragonflies.
Oh,
you can never do it.
You know, Rachel doesn't know this, but they freak me the fuck out, man. They're the one insect that I swear is from, you know, a different universe, and they're going to suck out my blood and shit. Seriously.
Weirdo, I love this. I did not know that, which means you're not allowed to come to my house anymore because I have so many dragonflies out here. You know, it's like a sign of good luck if a dragonfly lands on you. And so everybody's like, oh, I'm going to sit in this field with dragonflies, and they're going to land on me. But they are a little freaky with their big, long butt tails and shit.
They are kind of freaky, but I think that was good luck for Dylan. And it was a funny thing. It was funny. And I just happened to be rewatching my one of my favorite shows, Lex. And Lex is a big, giant sci-fi spaceship dragonfly. And I just thought it was just so many connections there. And I always look for connections to tell me that things are, that we're doing the right thing. So I thought the dragonflies were very cool and part of, yes, you're doing the right thing, even though it's hell out here. Okay, and from the last show, Rachel, we were talking about getting mosquito tents because I didn't know what to do and how things were going to be going because we needed tents. So we ended up with three different tents. And none of them really worked as well as we wanted them to. For one thing, the shoreline of the lake is not flat. And so it was hard to get them to stand upright. But, you know, that was no big deal. The biggest problem was is that the one I bought was a mosquito tent. And so its walls were just net. And with the blazing sun, it just didn't do anything except keep bugs off of us, except when the bees got caught inside, then it didn't do the job at all.
I haven't had to deal with that, so I am so sorry, but I was hoping that at least, you know, it could help a little bit, and I did suggest the citronella tiki torches.
Yes, and then, no, I couldn't find any tiki torches, and so I also thought, okay, because the walls are going to be, you know, pretty much see-through, I would bring some sheets and use clothespins to tie, you know, well, clothespins are made really cheaply these days, and that didn't work either, so we only had one tent that had two sides. It was like a corner that was you know, kind of blocked off because it had the darker, you know, wall stuff up. So our actors could actually change in there as we all stood out in the sun. So the tent thing was really, you would think it would be the easiest thing to take care of, and it really turned out to be one of the hardest things to figure out. It was just kind of weird that way. And so now we just go out for like 2.5-3 hours at the most, take one tent, and our lead actor, when he needs to change his clothes, he just goes off into the bushes over to the side and changes over there. He's so funny. He's so great, though. God, he's so good at this. And so his name's Parker Lewis, and he is just the most fantastic. He comes prepared every time. He knows his lines. He knows, he takes directions so well. He's just, he's perfect. And so the funniest thing, did I talk about the guys knocking golf balls at us?
No.
I think you did, actually.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. This is what happened. Okay. This is our third time out, I think. And our lead actress, Rebecca, her parents came out. She's from Pennsylvania, Carl. And her parents live in Pennsylvania, and she lives out here in Fresno with her husband. And that's a long story, and we're not going to talk about it. But she's here, they're there. And so they came out, and they really wanted to be on the set and watch what was happening. And they are the most awesome people. In fact, Rebecca was raised on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, because her mom loved it so much. So
I actually recently binged that again. So I was raised on it, too. The movie was my favorite when I was younger, but then the show happened, so all of it.
Right. I do like the film. I like the film a lot. But the show, you know, ran for so many years. So many great people came out of it. Yeah, I love them both. So that was cool that her parents were out there. But when we got out to our shooting spot, somehow there had been a goose convention, and the whole area was just filled with goose poop.
Okay, a goose convention. What the fuck is a goose convention?
They
all
go together
and like goosey killers?
I don't know what they do at night, okay? I don't know. I know that they were really ticked off at us the first time we were out there. They were flying in, and they were over by this little island area, and they were looking at us, eyeing us like, what the hell are those humans doing in our spot? And then the next weekend when we went out there, it was just full of goose poop everywhere. And so Rebecca's father took it upon himself to get out there and find some sticks and stuff and just start shoveling goose poop. It was hilarious, but it was needed. I'm telling you, it's the wildlife, you know? And then before we even get to the humans, there's also the thing about the fish jumping. The bugs start coming out around 10 o'clock, and then the fish start jumping soon after that. Rebecca, her back is always to the water or something and she never gets to see a fish. And if you think I say the word fuck a lot, Rebecca, that's all she ever says. Fuck, where's the fish? Fuck, I missed it again. A total joke. And so I started taking pictures of her expressions every time she said it. And I must have 50 pictures of her doing that because it's hilarious. So the fish, we try to get them, if they're jumping, we hope to get them live as we're filming because we want the plop in the film somewhere because they're so much a part of our experience out there. And so, yeah, so, you know, goose poop, never expected something like that. Come on. Dragonfly attacks, never expected anything like that. And there was also a family of hawks. And because there are so many fish in this area, and because so many fish swim so close to the surface, eating the bugs, the hawks come in, and the hawks were pissed off because the humans were here, and they like to do their fishing in private. And so they were, caw, 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 you know, and roll it, caw, caw, nope, cut, wait. It's just, and it's also underneath an airport, put, 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 you know, little Cessnas, put, 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 you know, so you have to stand there and wait for the put, put, put of the Cessnas to go. But the weirdest thing ever, we're down, of course, down at water level, and there's a big cliff, and up at the top of this cliff, there's a, like a par three hole to the golf course. And it's kind of in the dirt. A lot of people skip it because they don't want to, but a lot of people don't. And so this happened while Rebecca's parents were there. We're filming. And all of a sudden, I hear this really loud plop. And I thought it was a fish. I didn't say anything because I was doing the boom for the microphone. So I just kind of ignore things. And I thought it was a big fish. And then we hear another one, and it's closer. And then Rebecca's dad he's like, those are golf balls. And we look up, and there's these fucking bastards standing up there, and they had to be like about 30-year-olds, 25 to 30-year-olds, you know, up there. And they're just staring down at us, kind of waving their golf clubs. And then they, whoosh, here comes a golf ball right at us. I have one of them. I kept one as a souvenir. And, of course, we told our host what happened to us. But those fuckers, until Rebecca's dad took a golf ball and he threw it at them, but it was too far. So they understood that we knew what they were doing. And they kept winging them out at us. And then Rebecca's dad grabbed a couple of them because they were getting close to hitting us. Grabbed a couple of the golf balls, and he went up there and he started winging them back at them. And it was like, oh, there's going to be a golf ball fight now. It was.
Please tell me he had good aim.
I have no idea, but he came back pretty satisfied that they were leaving. I don't think he hit them.
He knocked a couple fuckers.
I hope so. I can't even understand people these days. You could absolutely see what we were doing. This is how we found our line producer. He was golfing one day, and he saw us down there, and he contacted us and said, I want to help you distribute your film when it's done. And so we have – yeah, but who does that? Let's hit some golf balls at them. Maybe we can break their camera. You know, a $3,000 camera. Let's just break it.
Assholes do
that.
I'm calling you out, Fresno golfing bastard. You're assholes. I think you should go lock them in the spunk room from the previous filming session. Just go lock them in the spunk room. And have one of those tennis ball machines that's just going to chuck, like, baseballs and tennis balls at them.
No kidding. In one of those small rooms, so they are to be hit, you know? I just don't understand. You know, if you're really nice to us, we'll let you be in the film. But if you're really mean to us, we're going to rip your throats out.
Trust me, by experience, Vicky would be very good at that. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see, sometimes Dylan gets a little embarrassed by how aggressive I can get at people who do wrong things. And so I wanted to go after them. And I was going to. And then Rebecca's dad took over. And I'm like, oh. Cool. I'm not the only one that wants to kill these fuckers.
And if you had murdered them and recorded it, you could totally have had a new market with snuff films. So
right.
Win-win either way.
I know. There were so many possibilities. So many. So
well, thank Rebecca's dad for all of us, because we'd like to see you out of jail and hopefully making more movies in the future, because I still don't know anything about this movie.
Talk about Rebecca's dad for a second, okay? Do me a favor and do him a favor, okay? When the film is done and you get the credit roll, please credit him as Goose Poop Remover. Please.
Oh, yeah.
Goose Poop Remover and Golf Ball Chucker.
Yes, we are. We are going, he's going to have several important designations. He did lots of things for us that nobody else did. And so,
that has to be at least two of them, Goose Poop Remover and Golf Ball Chucker.
Absolutely. We already thought about that, because the one thing that is happening on our film set that I'm really happy about is that we are having fun every single time all of us are together. We laugh. Oh my gosh. Sometimes we stop because we're laughing so hard that we have to, you know, we have to get back into the serious mode of the more serious the scene is, it seems like the more we laugh. And I think that that's a good sign.
Well, you know, that's funny, because I was going to ask you, you know, how is everybody getting along? Because, you know, when there are certain directors who are control freaks, there are certain, and I've always thought you to be very humorous and that sort of thing. So that's really nice to hear that. And you think that's very conducive to a good product too, I would think.
I would hope so. What we're finding out is that when we chose these people to be a part of it, they all have the same sense of humor. We all have the same, and we all like the same stuff. Lindsay, who I haven't even talked about yet, she's the other female character. Lindsay, she has all of these very serious lines to say. And then Parker, in between every take, he'll do something and he'll make her laugh, and it's just hilarious. But Lindsay also is a costume designer, and she's a cosplay and also we all play Destiny together. It's like we didn't know any of these things about each other until we all came together for this film. And we're all on the same page as far as the film, the things that we need to do for the film, and the things that we do to have fun. It's just really cool. So in between everything, we chat about this or that in our personal lives that all intersect. And I think that's what makes this a special film, but a special group of people. Even Rebecca's husband, like Rebecca has her whole family involved in this, because her husband comes and does lighting and the microphone boom a lot of times. And so it's just a really cool group of people. So you know, we're like Lindsay, I'm very envious of her. She's, you know, a million years younger than me, and yet she's got to meet William Shatner at a con in New York. Two places. I've never been to New York City, and I've never got to meet William Shatner. I'm like, God, I'm so jealous. And so,
there's something to be said about the right group of people to work with. And if you guys can make each other laugh, even through some serious shit, it's, you know, that you're with your tribe.
Yeah.
At least your current tribe. And that really, I think bodes well for what we're going to see, as I'm hoping really good chemistry between the actors, because you guys have good chemistry offset. That really does translate to when you're recording. So I am, like, even more stoked, like, not that I wasn't before, obviously. Like, I'm a big fangirl. I love you to death, Vicky. I'm super, super, super excited to see the final product.
What you say as tribe, I was thinking about that a couple of the beginning of September, around that time, we were doing a lot of shooting in my house. And separate scenes with Parker and different actors. And I was just amazed by this whole, how everyone was getting along so well, including our dead actor. He's not dead in real life. Our dead character comes. And there's one scene where he's actually alive in main character's memory, and so he's here, and he just got along too. He's cracking jokes and doing things that he's like, did that work out well? Didn't feel right. And Dylan's like, yeah. Every time it doesn't feel right, it's always the best. And I mean, it was like, here, he's part of the tribe too. You hit it right on, Rachel, right on.
And that is something that I feel a lot of times is lacking in a lot of, like, Hollywood movies and things like that, is these people don't have a chance to, like, really get to know with and interact with each other, and they don't have the relationship offset. And it really does, especially if there's – I know you said there's probably not an actual lot of romance involved in this one, but if there's, you know, any sort of – well, I consider, you know, friendships to be romances of a sort. Even if there's any sort of, like, friendship romance here, when people don't have that opportunity to interact with each other, it's just not genuinely believable. And that's one of the things that's making me really, really excited to see this final project, is because we've heard the stories about you and the actors and everybody else, and you all seem to have such a relationship that I want to see how it plays out on camera.
the Parker and Lindsay in the film have... They're at the, like, the begin. They have a friendship, and they're at the beginning of a relationship in the story, and so they had never met before. And even though when they were cast, they seemed in my mind that they were going to get along. I was like, oh, you know how you can get nervous. What if they don't like each other? What if there's some kind of, like, they don't click and it doesn't work out? Then what's going to happen, right? They're going to have to be really, you know, exceptional actors to get over that. Because you can see it in the shows that we watch. You can actually tell when two people don't really like each other. There's no chemistry. And the director's like, okay, we got to do this anyway, so do your best, blah, blah, blah. And I was really hoping that, but when they met, Dylan and I went into the set room, and we were doing things in there, making sure, and I was taking pictures, just making sure everything was right, going through what we were going to do. We left Parker and Lindsay in the other room to get to know each other, and I hear them laughing, and I'm just like, oh, my God, thank God. Oh, that's perfect. They're natural. They have natural. They're laughing. It's just natural between them. Awesome. And so from that point on, I wasn't afraid anymore. But yeah, that's a real
thing.
Yeah, that's when Greg came, our older actor who plays the professor. He was nervous. He's like, oh, I've never met Parker before. I don't know. And then Parker comes in, and he's just himself. And it was like, oh, God, they've known each other forever, just like in the film, just like the script. They were just making jokes with each other, and that says a lot for Parker, who he is, and what a cool guy he is, and how good his acting is, too.
Well, you
and
know, it also says something a lot for how the script was written, because it's a lot easier to make this affable connection with people when it's written well enough that you can do it easily. Because I have done some acting in my day, somewhat professionally, not anything anybody would ever have heard of, because I'm still in Arkansas, but... Yeah, when the script is written well enough, it makes things so much better. It makes it so much easier, even if you do have to pretend. But when you don't have to pretend that you like this person and you have a script that makes it easy to feel like you're already friends with someone, it's so much better.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And so I'm really happy that it's clicking. It's clicking along. These people are, I just remember the interviews with all of them and how I felt, or the interview, how I felt the, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is the right person for that character. And so I'm just really glad that my instincts, along with Dylan's instincts, were correct. But, yeah, Rachel, I've done some acting myself, and I'm not very good at it. I like to be behind the scenes. But even behind the scenes, you can screw things up.
I've been on both sides. I have directed some you know, stage productions. I have been involved in some stage productions. I have acted in some stage productions and done some solo stuff. And yeah, it's so much easier to do solo stuff because you don't have to worry about your communication with other people. So
right.
When it's written well enough that you can just kind of use what you've already got with someone, it's awesome. But when you actually have that with someone, it's even better. And you can see that even from behind the scenes, how much more copacetic things are when people actually get along. Like, it doesn't sound like you have any prima donnas on your set, which I absolutely love. I am so sick of hearing about all these, well, I'm an actor. And
things
like that. I think actually there was an issue with somebody like that at one point in the beginning of the movie when you guys were filming earlier, and was kind of like, hey, we'll do something else without you.
Right.
But
right.
So
those kinds of things, I don't get along with people like that. And so it's easy for me to be really strong and say, look, it's either, you know, you tone it down or you're gone. And that person happens to be gone. And, I mean, that's all there is to it. But I can understand that in big productions where the movies want to have big names and those big names want money and it's stroking their ego and all that kind of stuff. I can see where all those kinds of problems come in. And we've been hearing stories from the other actors that we are around about the prima donnas here in Fresno too. And seriously, I don't want to work with any of them. I really don't. If that's the way you want to be, then you don't, I'm not going to have you in my house or, working with these props that I have, you know, purchased, and that props is another thing that I should talk about too. But the whole prima donna thing. At least we're not having to deal with that. Thank goodness.
Well, and that's something I had to ask you about. Is I personally am very, very closed in my actual house. Like, you have to be somebody that I inherently trust and know to even know the address to where I live, okay? So the fact that you opened your home to these, to film a movie, like, that's really invasive. How did that affect you?
Oh, my God. That's a great question, because I had to live for about 6 weeks with my house completely torn apart. My living room, all you could do in my living room was walk from the front door to the kitchen. It was just a path. And my granddaughters couldn't spend the night because the bedroom, their bedroom, was switched over to the office on a campus for the professor. And we had to paint the room too. So we went from this lemon color to this really dark brown color, and we had to bring shelves in and desks, and my mom had to give up her office chair every time that we were filming. So it was very disruptive, and my house looked like a total mess. It looked like a hoarder person lived here, because everything had to be moved out into the living area. So, well, look, you can sit on the couch right here, and you can walk through right here, and here's where the lizards are, but there's everything, all the books from the shelves are all stacked right here, and it was very hard for me to have people come in and think that this is the way I lived, you know?
I'm moving right now, so I totally get it. Like, everything is stacked in weird places, and
yeah,
there's, like, a rat track through my house right now.
Yep.
You can get to all of the important doors and all of the important places, but even when you get in there, it's not what you're expecting.
That's exactly the way it was here. It was because the room had to have only specific things in it, and specific shelving in it, and everything else. I had stuff out of my bedroom in there, and so the shelves in my bedroom were unpacked, and it was like we were moving. And then I had people who've never been in my house before in my house, and it was freaky. And so, yeah, that was
super brave of you. I just want to say that from personal experience, that is super fucking brave of you. And we can see how deep you're diving into this movie just by that alone, or at least I can. I don't know how you feel, Carl, but I personally, like, I have an entire house full of shit for me and the two kids. So, if somebody comes in here right now, it's going to look exactly like that, like a hoarder, creepy, crazy house. And I don't even have the excuse of I'm filming a movie. Just, yeah, I'm really impressed, Vicky. You've got a lot more steelier balls than I do.
Well, thanks. But, you know, I mean, I'm deep into this. I want it to succeed. I just don't want to, I'm not just doing it as like a hobby project thing. I'm doing it so that we can take the next step. I want to film in a studio next time. I want to not have to worry about making all the props, because some of our props melted in those 100-degree temperatures out at the lake. Not only did we get sunburned, not only did we get dehydrated, not only were the next 2 days days that we had to recover, all of us, because we were at the edge of our limit physically, our props started melting. And so that's something you don't even think about. You have these cool props, you got them, you made them, you painted them, they look the way they were, you use them the first time, you set them in a place where you think they're going to be okay, and they start melting altogether. and you don't have time to remake them or reorder them. And so, yeah, these are the things that I hope that never happen again, because I hope that we get recognized and that we – there's plenty of money in this little town, Fresno. What I'm hearing, there are people out there making projects, getting money thrown at them, using studios, and it's just because we're not known yet. But these people are, and some of these projects never even make it farther than what we're doing right now. But they don't have to go teach class every day like I have to, or go work as a janitor every day like Parker has to, or work in the school library like Lindsay has to. These people are taking money from other people making projects that we're doing. I want that next step. So I'm in it. I'm in it to do the best job possible to show people that this is what we want to do. And so hopefully it comes.
Absolutely.
Well, so far it sounds like you're on the right track with that. I mean, we've talked to a lot of first-time film directors after they've done their first film, and it sounds like you're way more on track than a lot of people that we've talked to, and you're really going for this. And that is something that I just love hearing. That you're not just going to do this like a one and done kind of thing. Like you're still going for it. You want to go for it after this. And it sounds like you've got a really good start. And like you've, at least for this one, I don't know if they're all going to follow you. They probably not all will, but I feel like maybe at least a few of them are going to follow you through your next project or two, or, you know, maybe for the rest of your projects, because Carl can tell you that's something that we get from a lot of our first-time film directors and a lot of our indie film directors and stuff is, you know, a lot of the people that helped make this film possible are the people that worked with me on my first shitty project. And I'm not calling this a shitty project, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And they keep on, and they don't even want money. It's just they agree with the vision, and it sounds like you've got a really decent group of people that agree with the vision of this project. And that is the most important thing.
Dylan does a certain type of karate. He's been doing it for several years now. It helps with the disease he has. And
do you know what kind?
Yeah, he's told me a million times. And so I met his sensei last week, who absolutely loves my son, loves the script, and agreed to be in the film. And through him, we got the lawyer's office who let us shoot at his office last Saturday or Sunday, whatever day it was. And yeah, and so I see this project as the more people that are involved in it and are want to be involved in it. They want to. We bring them in, and they say, yes, we want to do this, and we want to see it through, and we want to see you succeed. And for their own reasons and for us too, it's amazing the things that are going on with all the people who are involved in this. And I'm humbled by it, sincerely humbled. When I was talking to Randy, Dylan Sensei, he introduced himself to me, and then he started talking about how much he respects my son and how much he loved the script and all these things. And it just made me very choked up that I've never met I'm in the first 5 minutes of meeting this person, and he's saying all these wonderful things and how much he wants to help and how much, you know, it's kind of humbling. And I hope not to let anybody down on this.
So far, I don't think you are going to let anybody down on this. Personally, like I said, I don't know a whole lot about what's going to be going on in this movie. Just for posterity's sake, I do have to say that I know I personally, I don't think Carl has, neither one of us has read the script. Like, all of you listeners are hearing about all of this the first time we are. And I am beyond stoked, and I don't just say that. I don't tell people that I'm excited for an upcoming project until I really, really am. And this is one that I've actually told people about that I know. I'm like, oh, my God. I drove home like a bat out of hell from Memphis this afternoon so that I could get here in time for the podcast to talk to you about this movie. And I was like, I'm sorry, guys. I packed all my shit. I got to go now. Like, I'm barely going to make it, but we got to talk to Vicky about this movie. It's called Lake, and I'll tell you more about it when it comes out. But listen to the show, because it's going to be awesome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope that you weren't dangerous, okay?
Oh, absolutely not. I'm a grandma driver, but that's why I had to leave really early, is because I mind the speed limit. Like, I put myself on cruise control and go around the semis when I'm supposed to. But by bat out of hell, I mean, I left really early, and I did go about 5 miles over the speed limit, which is legally acceptable in the left lane when you're trying to pass people. So that's not important. Fact is, I made it here in time for the podcast today because I was so excited to hear more about this movie.
Great. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy you're here. Yeah. And so,
just to say something, I'm always welcome and always glad that Rachel is my co-host because she does a great job. And the other thing I want to say is, and I think I said this on the last podcast, whatever we can do once you get it shot and once you need publicity or anything like that, you got it. All you have to do is tell me.
Yeah, well, I'm just talking about it. Just talking about it is a good thing, putting it out there and having these shows where it is chronicalized as we're moving along, because we are in a different spot than from July when I was first on the first one to now. I know so much more. We've had so many more experiences. Like, we're going to have to refilm everything we did at the terribly cheesy hooker hotel that I rented.
The spunk room.
Yes. All of that's going to have to be redone. And
no.
So I don't know if any of it's going to be, you know, if we're going to be able to save any of it or not. That's a director's decision. But we're not going to go back to that same place. There's absolutely no fucking way I'm ever going to step foot on that property again. There's no way.
Well, I will let you know that it might even be cheaper for you guys to all drive down to Arkansas and stay with me for a couple days and film some shit in one of our cheap hotels or something. Just letting you know that's out there if you need it.
Well, I was thinking that I might just have to convert the bedroom again into another bedroom, since now my girls have moved to Washington, and I'm sorely, sorely sad at this. But anyway, yeah, the bedroom now can be used for whatever, so I suppose it's just that it's the same angle, the same everything, but I think we've secured a different bedroom. But the whole thing is, you just don't know. You don't know what's going to work out and what out until you film it, and then you see that that was really awesome, or that really was that was the worst piece of crap you've ever seen in your life, right? So that's not such a bad thing. But then we get to go up. Our next thing is to go up into the foothills to my friend's bed and breakfast and film in her home. She has a, it's not her, it's her home, but it's this 3,500 square foot log cabin bed and breakfast place. It's actually an Airbnb. And so there's three levels to it, and one of the levels is perfect for some of the scenes that we need. So we're going to be going up there with Parker in the very near future. And we couldn't go up there. One, like last weekend, we wanted to go up there, and the smoke was so heavy that you couldn't breathe. And so, you know, we live right by the Sequoia wildfires and where the giant trees are burning. And we have been under this pall of smoke for 3-4 weeks now. I think it started right before Labor Day. And we have a clear day once in a while, but it's just a really big tragedy. And we just can't, nobody can breathe. You have to stay inside. It's on end. So anyway, we have that kind of thing going on. Just weird stuff. And there was...
not just like for your movie, but also for the world. So I'm there with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. It's really a terrible thing. It gets dark early every day because of the smoke. It gets dark about 30 minutes earlier than it should because wildfire, the ash from wildfires is heavy. This is why you're not supposed to breathe it and why I have such a bad sinus infection right now. It's very heavy, and when you breathe it in, it turns cementy. When ash and water mix, it turns into like this cement stuff. And so it falls to the ground and it just hangs at ground level where humans and animals are. And so as the sun sinks in during the day, you know, to sunset, it just gets darker and darker and darker. It's just a really horrible, absolutely apocalyptic thing. If we were doing an apocalyptic film, it would be perfect weather. No CGI needed. It's just horrible. And there was something else I wanted to say, and I forgot.
How has weather impacted? You're talking about the fires and that. Have you had any other problems with the weather or with lighting in terms of shooting outside or anything
well,
like that?
Well, now that the seasons have changed and we're trying, and we still have three scenes left at the lake, we have to try to get the sunlight has changed. The sunlight's changed completely. And so we have to get out there later and try to make it look like, you know, the same things are happening, right? It's not the same scene.
Right.
But and luckily it's at a different point, a later point in the movie. So, but yeah, when the season changes on you because of the freaking wildfires, that's a problem. And then when we were shooting in July and August, it was so bloody hot that we were so dehydrated that it took us days to recover after we were shooting in the heat. Yeah, those things. And so we haven't done anything in the winter, but winters here aren't even cold anymore, so I don't see any problems. But yeah, so far that. And then I don't even know what rain is. We haven't had rain in like a year and a half, so if it rains, we're probably going to go outside and shoot it anyway because it's raining. But we haven't had rain in like a year and a half. It's weird. And so, yeah, we're just in this weird, it's the wildfire thing that's really impacting us. And then there's the others that are impacting us. We still can't find a fucking library. Nobody wants to let us be in their library. And it's like, what? It's a freaking library, you idiots. We want it for 3 hours, three tiny hours. We're not going to hurt it. It's a library. We still can't get a library. It's just
my God, you could get an island for that for a 3-hour tour.
Yes. I know. Maybe if I put on my Gilligan hat, I could get it. I don't know.
Sorry. I had to go there.
Sorry.
I have sinus too. I had to go there. Sorry about that.
I know. It's okay, because I've never thought about that. I could probably put on a Gilligan hat and a red shirt, and maybe they'd be more helpful.
Just make sure you don't do a Star Trek movie with a red shirt on, okay?
I'm Scotty. I would never. I don't get killed.
Oh, that's fine.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, it's okay. There's something I wanted to say, and it was about the, I don't know. Can't think of it now. But, you know, what's really funny is what you think about filming a movie before you ever try to film a movie. You know, the things that just pop up that are hilarious, or the roadblocks, the walls that you run into, are never the thing that you think is going to happen. Like one weekend, I Parker and I both were in quarantine from our jobs because we work on school campuses. And so none of us wanted to be together just in case. The whole school thing, the bloody school thing interferes with the film. Anti-vaxxers interfere with the film. It's just the stupidest things you would never think about until you were trying to film in the year 2021.
Right.
I'm glad we're not using animals. Animals probably make it even harder.
I was at a petting zoo yesterday, and I was so upset because there's signs all over the place that say, masks are encouraged, because it was an outdoor thing, obviously, and, like,
right.
It was even more specific around the animals, like, please wear your masks, because animals can get sick, too. We don't see that. They can't tell us that they're sick, but...
Right.
I was so upset because there were so many people that weren't wearing their masks. And I was like, don't pet that llama without your mask on. Oh, my God.
Right. Right. Cats and dogs can get the COVID. People are so stupid.
And so, like, I don't understand fully, but I get it. I was around a whole bunch of people yesterday, and, of course, we were all wearing our masks and gloves and sanitizing appropriately and stuff, but it was just so weird that people, if they have the option not to, they won't. And I was like, well, I have the option not to, but me and
yeah.
my kids and everybody else, we're going to do this damn thing. Like, that's how it goes. So, yeah, I can imagine how much worse it is with actual human peoples with opinions. I'm not going to say fact-based opinions, just opinions.
Well,
kind of
we
like
just
assholes.
Had a recall
We've
here.
All got one.
The recall thing here in California was all about wearing masks. It was about nothing other than wearing masks. It was the stupidest thing. I don't know how many millions of dollars we spent on ballots and all that stuff to vote again in an off election year because a bunch of anti-maskers down in San Diego mostly wanted to recall the governor. I mean, there's all kinds of things governors do that no one likes, but God, the anti-mask thing, that's the world, people. The world says, put on your mask. So freaking stupid. So yeah, those kinds of things happen to us too, and it's weird.
And I'm pretty sure it was you, and I know that it's not only you that we've interviewed recently that you lost one of your initial actors because of the mask thing. And we've had a lot of directors recently, not a lot, but at least half of them that have
well,
recently filmed movies.
Somebody. when he was shooting the Dead Don't Desist, the Dead Won't
Desist.
Yeah, there we go. And he lost one of his actors because they refused to do a mask, and he said, no, not. We'll find somebody else.
And a lot of our directors have figured out ways to either safely do things or, you know, film with their actors and just cut scenes together. Basically, we Austin Allen James even.
And same with Joel Weinkoop, too, did it.
His movie was going to be a lot different before he filmed it during the pandemic. But one of the things that we talked to him about was that, how were you doing this during the pandemic? And he actually kind of reworked things and filmed his entire movie so that none of the actors were even in the same room together.
Yeah. That's been a concern, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that you're a smart woman and that you are really worried about things, so you probably are making sure that everybody is taken care of and safe. So I want to say, shout out and respect to you for still being able to safely film a movie during the pandemic. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, because it's hard. We asked that all our actors and all those who wanted to participate, please be vaccinated. And then people, when they were in my house, I have to worry about my mom. My mom lives here, and she's 82. She's almost 83. And she's had her shots and everything. When everyone comes into my house, they have their masks on. And then we talk about, when we got our shots and, what we do as a living and all these different things. And so whoever feels comfortable can take off their mask, and whoever doesn't feel comfortable can put on their mask. And most all the scenes that we have been shooting, our actors are 6 feet apart. And so that gives a level of comfort to them also. And nobody's really felt, they haven't felt like they were in danger. I can say, though, at the lawyer's office, because last week I had to have a COVID test again because of my stupid job. He asked me to wear my mask, and so I wore my mask the whole time, even though I had both my shots. But I work at a school, and I'm constantly in contact with idiot teenagers who have COVID. And so so I wore my mask the entire time we were shooting, the 2 or 3 hours we were at the lawyer's office. And so I didn't feel put out of place because he asked me, I'm in his offices. I'm using his facilities for free. He just wants to be in the credits, right, of the film, of course. And so he just said, yes, could you just please wear your mask when you're inside? And I'm like, sure. What's the big deal about that?
So, anywhere, and I'm even wearing my mask. I did church today, and I go in until I'm down at the organ, and I just put the mask on the chin, and I play the organ. If anyone comes close, then I put the mask on. Supposed to do.
And this is something that I think is going to be a bigger thing in the future, and just so you don't feel bad about it, Vicky, I don't think you do.
Yeah.
I know you don't. But I have noticed recently, especially in the past 6 months, even in just regular commercials on stuff, you'll look in the background and as somebody's walking out the door, they have a hook next to their door with a bunch of masks on them.
Right.
And every car I pass has a mask hanging, off the rearview mirror. It's becoming normalized to the point that some of my favorite artwork that's come out recently, like there was somebody that did a Teen Titans theory, and all of them are wearing masks. Like, it's
right.
totally normal right now. It's totally normal, especially if you're not trying to film a movie that was, you know, set back in the 80s or, well, really before the 2020s, that to have them in a mask doing things, it's not an issue. And don't ever, ever tell me that, oh, it doesn't sound right when you're on the phone, because I have been on the mask or with a mask on the phone so many times with people, there is no discernible difference. So
right.
I just want you to know that if you're having to film scenes with people in masks, I actually stan that so hard, because I'm seeing it more and more, and it makes me happy, because I live in an area where people just really don't want to, because, you know, them's my liberties. We're still having trouble getting rid of the Confederate flag. So
right, right.
I really respect that. I really respect that a lot of the newer shows that I've seen come out on, like, HBO and Netflix and stuff like that, that they're wearing masks when they go into public. And I'm not just talking superhero masks. I'm talking just your face covering.
Yeah, I've seen that too, and I've been really happy, because the more they normalize it on videos, television, films, the easier it's going to be to convince people that you're protecting your own self. You know, I don't understand the whole anti-mask thing, but it has been, the whole pandemic thing has been a hurdle that has to be reckoned with. And that's just the way life is now, from now on. I read something, Pfizer said something today that they expect with the booster shot that life is going to be back to normal within a year. And I don't even believe that normal means 2019, because that way of life is over. These viruses are there, and they're going to hit us again, especially with these wildfires. You know, that's you know what? It's the wildfire. I wanted to talk about these wildfires are happening in places where filming happens, and throughout California. And one of the big changes that happened 2 years ago, 3 years ago, was that the whole set for Westworld, the new Westworld on HBO, the Western city set was burned down. And so the third season to Westworld was completely different. And it had to be rewritten and had to be reworked because of the set being burned by wildfires. Now, our actress, Rebecca, I know that I mentioned this before, she was one of the stand-ins for Rachel Evan Wood, in the lead actress in Westworld. And so the more that we understand that this is normal now, wildfires, smoke in the air, masks, pandemics, viruses, the more we make that the normal, the better off we're going to be in a couple of years. We just have to stop saying we want it to be like it's 2015 again, because that's never going to happen.
No, it's not. So Vicki, I'm going to let you know that we're about 15 minutes till overtime.
Oh, okay.
So is there anything else that you want to say before we get into housekeeping? And please tell them about the name of the film and all that sort of stuff, too, and your film website and such.
Okay, our film is called Lake. And it is, you can find us at epsilonv.com, and that is Upsilon with a U, UPSILON with a capital V, .com. And Cosmic Five Films is my film company. That's Upsilon V is production company. You can find us there. You can email us there. That's where we talk to each other, all of us on the film. We talk to each other through that when we're not messaging each other on the phone. And if there's any producers out there who want to my son's calling me. Connecticut. Okay. Oh, anyway, sorry. This is a weird message. In the middle of me trying to say, promote myself and my film, if anyone would like to help us, please contact us. And you can find me, Vicki Love, on Facebook. You can message me. If you feel that this is a project that you could contribute to in some way, just let me know. I'm open to all kinds of suggestions. We're almost to the point where we have a trailer. We're not quite at the trailer point yet, but we're almost there. Much of our CGI hasn't been done yet, but about a third of it has, and so we are able to... I don't want to put the trailer out without some of the CGI stuff because the last third of the movie is science fiction traveling out in the solar system. So I want to put some of that in the trailer. So that's where we're at. And so if you just want to say, hey, good job, let me know, okay? And I think that's about
it. Hey, good job!
Well, you and Rachel have been really helpful in this, just to talk about it.
Good.
Soon.
Good. And I tell you, your stories and the way that you tell them and all that, you're being helpful to our people at Incredibly Strange Films and our first-time film people and those that want to make a film, because you bring up so much that I'm sure people don't realize all the problems. I love the goose poop. Okay, I think that is beautiful.
Sure, you
of course,
know, that's
that
something you could have
anyone.
Never. But that's just something that you could have never predicted, ever, 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 ever. I mean, the stickers and the dirt, all of that, yes. I mean, we had to go through reeds, you know, tall reeds to get to the lake. We had to make our own path, big boulders and rocks and stuff. But goose poop? Uh-uh. No. Or the crazy guy, the homeless guy that kept yelling at us, is Tina there? I just want to talk to Tina. And it's like, shut the fuck up. We're filming. You can't predict that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you have to go with the flow. Because what you predict isn't going to be the problem.
Well, Vicki,
thank you very much
for being on. Finish up. I'm sorry, sweetie.
No, thank you. Thank you for having me on, thinking about doing this with me. And again, after we finish filming up at Kim's place and about November before Thanksgiving, after Halloween, I'll come back on and tell you the status.
Oh, absolutely. We definitely want to have you back. And think of these podcasts as a way to promote the film, too. We'll get them all together for you and that. And I think it would be a good extra on the DVD when it comes out, or the Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. Oh, maybe it would be. That'd be great. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a DVD at first. I don't even know how to make Blu-ray. We can make DVDs. I don't know how the Blu-ray gets made. So,
well,
don't be thinking
we'll
Blu-ray
see how
yet.
It goes.
yeah, don't put another hurdle in front of me, okay?
No. Never listen to me, but of course you're used to that, so that's not a problem.
Right. Right. Well, what I understand is that having it on a, not a flash drive, but something like a external drive or something, is the way in which many, many companies want to see it the first time. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about as far as that goes. I just know DVD is the way we're going to go at first, okay?
Okay. So at this
point,
we're going to go a little bit into housekeeping. You can stick around, Becky. This will only take a second.
No, no, no. I got to call Derek back. I got to call Derek.
Okay,
so
call Derek back.
So.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for being on, Becky.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rachel. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Becky.
All right.
Okay. Goodbye, you guys.
Okay, see ya. So we're going to go into housekeeping, and tomorrow we have a very, very, very special show. And we are very, very happy to welcome Greg Sestero to the podcast. Greg is the co-actor in The Room with Tommy Wiseau. He was in that, and then he wrote The Disaster Artist, which was about the making of The Room, which was then made into a movie with James Franco. He also directed Best Friends with the R in parentheses, which co-starred Wiseau, and he directed and wrote. And tomorrow we're going to have Pat Crane with us, of course, Rachel, and Josh Buckland is going to be with us for that show. Then on Tuesday, we're very, very happy to have Paul Johnson on. Paul Johnson is a photographer who was very active during the golden age of porn. He's going to be talking about layouts and all sorts of stories about that. So we're going to be doing that on Tuesday. Why don't you tell us what we're going to do next Thursday, this coming Thursday, Rachel?
Thursday, that is the 30th, correct?
Correct.
Well, Thursday, the very special Mika Davis, her friend Amanda, whose name I did not catch the last name, and myself are going to be doing a very special commentary called A Woman's Perspective. And we'll be talking about the history and current events involving abortion and women's rights. We're going to have a nurse on with us that can tell us all of some of the medical facts. We've got a lot of the history and research behind, well, the abortion argument, pro and con. And it's just going to be a really interesting show from three women that have something to say about what's going on, not just in, you know, Roe versus Wade, but currently Texas versus the rest of the world. So that one's going to be a fun one.
Absolutely. And then I can tell you also that we've got Spooky October coming, and we've got a number of things coming on that. The first Tuesday of October, we're going to have Sam Irvin on, and he directed in their Elvira's Haunted Hills, and that is coming out in Blu-ray in a remastered thing. Of course, we also know that Elvira just published her book and came out
Hopefully yours,
as part
by
of
the way.
LP. What? Say that again?
The name of the book is Cruelly Yours. And there's some very interesting information in that book. And if you don't know what Miss Cassandra Peterson, i.e. Elvira, is talking about, or that I'm talking about, Cassandra Peterson reveals some very awesome information about herself that the whole world is super excited about. So,
Well, the whole world knows, so we might as well just say she came out as part of the LGBTQ community. And I certainly am going to be talking to Sam about that. I think it's absolutely wonderful. I think it's great. And this coming Saturday, I can tell you that we're going to have another Down the Rabbit Hole So do you have any thoughts what we're doing? I'm sure it's going to be Halloween music.
Ooh. We haven't talked about it with PC, so I'm not going to give you any spoilers yet, but it's definitely going to be spoopy season themed.
Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. So you know, you want to get there. I can tell you we're going to do lots of commentary watches. I can also tell you that John Killian is going to be joining us, and we'll be joining him on his network also. And we're going to be doing things in tandem. There's going to be lots of commentary watches. And if you didn't get a chance to be with us yesterday when we did the commentary watch of No Such Thing, I recommend getting the film and listening to that because it was a wonderful film. You really enjoyed yourself on that yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, my God, yes, I did. And it's one I actually had to talk to John about after the show last night because we're both like, holy shit. He's seen it before, but it's been a while, and we both have to rewatch it like 100 times and re-dissect it. It is so good. Now, just for all of you out there, I was the virgin on the movie last night, so my mind is absolutely fucking blown.
Yeah, and, you know, I picked that one, and it was very, very special to me, too. There's a lot to that film. I think it's absolutely just a great film, and you should definitely watch it, and watch it with our commentary, too. So is there anything I'm forgetting, Miss Rachel, or is that it?
Nothing that I can think of currently, but if there's anything that we're forgetting, you know that we're going to post it on the ISF and the Deviant Legion page. So keep up with that. You can find us both on Facebook under Incredibly Strange Films or the Deviant Legion Network. You can just Google Deviant Legion Network and you can find us all there. And it's not just, you know, me and Carl talking. We have so many other people on there. So feel free to use your Google
Talk too and find us. Go to Blog Talk too and find it. So
yeah, that comes up on Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there
you
go.
You can use your
folks.
Google Foo and find it.
Well, listen. What Google Food? Did I hear Google Food?
No, I was saying Google Foo. As in, like,
oh, okay.
I have a black belt in Google Foo.
Oh, okay. I thought food. I'm hungry. So, you know, that I think of food. Anyway, folks. Thank you very much for listening, and I think it's time to say good afternoon, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good night, people. Thank you much for joining us.
All right. Bye, guys.
Night.